Okay, we are going to continue with our exploration of nine arts of spiritual conversations today. We are up to number four. So could I have you all help me remember and recall the first three of those arts? What was the first one?
Noticing.
Noticing. So we need to be really paying attention to the people around us. You know, we interact with lots of people, but we don't always take time to really notice them, and especially to take time to notice what God might be doing in their lives. We want to partner with God in what he's doing and not jump ahead and do what we want to do. What was the second art?
Praying.
Praying. Yes, we need to be lifting every conversation, every relationship up to the Lord. And the third one?
Listening,
yes. Developing those skills to really listen to what people are saying and learn to not interject what we want. So before we get started on the fourth skill today, the fourth art, I want to take a moment to remind us why we're doing all this. We as our church want to be rooted, of course, in the Great Commission to do what Jesus told us to do. To go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded. That's what he established the church to do, and that's why what we do as a church. And we're committed to doing all we can to fulfill that here at True North, but we recognize that in the culture we live in today, the Christian church has, in a lot of ways, distanced itself from non-Christians. And there's a variety of reasons for that. It's just the state of where we are. There tends to be a bunch of walls up between Christians and non-Christians. And so if we're going to be faithful to Jesus and truly reach people for Christ, and if we truly believe that the gospel message of God's forgiveness of sin and new life through Jesus is the most valuable treasure anyone can possess, then we need to take the initiative to help take down those walls. And that means really going out to where people are with the intention of meeting them, making new friends, and building relationships that are just immersed in the love, grace, and compassion Jesus has shown us. The vision I have for True North Church is that we would be a people that are known all throughout our communities. Known, first of all, just because we're out there. We're out among the people, engaged in all the different activities that our community has to offer. Cannon Falls has so many ways to get involved and just be active and be around other people. There's plenty of existing ways to get out there or be engaged in your workplaces, be engaged with your families. We want to just be present in all those opportunities where people gather together. And second, we would be known because while we're there, people come to know that we really care about them. We care about what's happening in their lives because we notice them. We seek to make connections with them. We listen to what's happening in their lives. We pray for them. And we ask God to help us know how he's working in their lives so that we can more effectively serve him and serve them. We want to be the kind of people that they know they can trust when they need someone to talk to. And I get excited at this image in my mind of this church being spread all throughout the community in that way, engaging with all kinds of people for the sake of Christ. That's who we want to be as a church. And so these nine arts are the practical side of the vision. They're the answer to the question that I've received a couple ways of, that all sounds great, Scott, but how do I do that? Well, this is the how part of that vision, at least part of it anyway. And I pray that we can all find that these skills or arts would be useful tools to help us engage and interact with people better, to build authentic, deep, and caring relationships, not because we're so great, but because Jesus has been so good to us and we want to share all the goodness that he has given to us. That's why we're going through this series. And so the fourth art that we're going to discuss today is called the art of asking questions. Let me, there we go. The art of asking questions. This is described as seeking to understand more than to be understood, and letting genuine curiosity take the lead to open up conversations. Now, it's important to emphasize as we get started with this that the goal is to seek understanding that is rooted in genuine care for the person. It's possible for us to ask questions with lots of other intentions in mind. And in every relationship we build, we need to approach them with the kind of motive that is expressed in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, which Jason is going to read for us this morning. Jason, why don't you go ahead and read that?
All right. So we're going to go, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others.
All right. Thank you. We shared that verse previously, but that attitude we want to have in every relationship, to esteem them as more valuable than us, to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, to really genuinely be focused on what is best for the other person. We want to value getting to know them and how they think. Value especially understanding what God is doing in their lives or the path that he's already led them down. We don't want to ask questions in a way that interrogates people, trying to get them to admit that they to something that you believe that they should be acknowledging in their life, and causing them to feel as though they're under some sort of investigation or that you have some superior knowledge about them. We don't want to ask questions that are probing into their life, trying to get them to reveal secret things so that we can have more knowledge about them. That should not be our motive. And we also don't want to cut short the discovery part of asking questions by filling in details about ourselves, telling our own stories, and explaining how we think before we really truly give another person a chance to fully and freely respond. So when we talk about asking questions as a spiritual conversation art, we refer to having a genuine interest in people that leads you to ask questions that invite them to share, that draws them out, and that can even lead them to think about beliefs and ideals that they have in ways that they've never considered before. And they can challenge and convict them simply by inviting them to think about the world in new ways. It's always important to be prayerful in this, asking God for insight in the ways, as I said, in the way he's working in their lives, and being able to look past the surface level to really get at what motivates a person to do the things that they do, to think the way that they do. It's so easy to just look at the surface and to identify sinful behaviors. We all have them. They're just so easy to notice. And then it's easy to just judge those actions without ever really finding out what lies beneath the surface. What motivates a person? What kinds of fears are they responding to? What vows have they made in their lives? Many teens today are classified as troubled kids because of the way that they act out. But when you really get to know them, you really get beneath the surface, you realize that they're acting out of a lack of hope. And they need someone to believe in them. They need to know that they're valued. The same is true with adults. Right? I recall from my theology classes, a professor pointing out to us that nobody really intentionally goes out to sin against God every day. Right? We don't set out the day saying, I'm just going to do everything that God doesn't want me to do. And we sin because there's something underlying that we feel like we need to do this to fulfill some need that we have in my life. Now, we have to deal with those needs in order to deal with the sin. And that's what I'm talking about by getting beneath the surface, to understanding the motivations and not just the actions. So we should pray to ask God to help us see people the way he does, not as rebellious sinners, but as beloved children he longs to have a loving relationship with. Now, when we look in the Bible, we can see examples of how Jesus used questions to draw people out and to gain understanding of them. There are two examples from Mark 10 I'd like to share with you this morning. The first is from Mark 10, verses 2 through 4. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll give you a moment to open up to that. Mark chapter 10. Go ahead and start in verse 1 of chapter 10 there. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, as was his custom. He taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. And they said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." Jesus replied, "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law." And I'm going to just stop there. The point of this is the way that Jesus used a question to respond to the Pharisees. He followed up their question to him, asking them what Moses commanded. And that allowed him to hear how they understood Moses' law. Their answer showed Jesus that they seemed to view this law as something Moses established as a permit, as a way to permit divorce. Now, Jesus explained after he heard that God's underlying desire is for man and woman to be joined as one. And God directed Moses to provide divorce as a concession for the sinfulness of mankind, something to be avoided as much as possible, something for us to try every other option available before we proceed with, rather than a permission to say, hey, just go ahead and do this if things aren't working out for you. Right? The question that Jesus asked allowed him to hear where their hearts were with this, to hear how they understood this law before he addressed their question, so he could answer in a more meaningful way. Now, toward the end of Mark 10, starting in verse 46, we read that Jesus and his disciples were leaving the city of Jericho, and a blind man named Bartimaeus called out to him, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, people tried to quiet him, but Jesus called him over. And instead of simply observing and saying, hey, this man is blind, he needs to be healed, I'm going to heal him, Jesus asked him a question. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus could have easily guessed what this man wanted, but by inviting the man to make his own request, Jesus demonstrated that he valued the man as an individual capable of expressing his desire, rather than just some anonymous person in the crowd that he needed to take care of. Jesus takes that moment to make a personal connection with the man and cared enough to listen to what he had to say. Small moments like that can speak a lot to how much you value a person. We can take another look at an example in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. This says, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" after they'd answered about all the other people they knew of, he gives them an opportunity to respond personally. Peter responded with his belief that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In asking this question, he allowed Peter to express his personal thoughts. He invites Peter to share freely what he believes. And it's just another important part of asking questions. To gain a greater understanding of someone, you let them answer freely. There's no judgment for the answer given. You just show them you're not there to correct them or tell them what they ought to be thinking, but rather just value what they do think and learn more about who they are. And I have one final example of the power of asking questions from Genesis chapter 3. This is right after Adam and Eve had eaten from the forbidden fruit in the garden. They had sinned against God. They were hiding from him. I'm going to read verses 9 through 13 from Genesis 3. The Lord came to the garden. He said, called out to the man and asked, "Where are you?" He, Adam, answered and said, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." And then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Now, God certainly knew what happened. He knew that they had eaten the fruit, but he asked them to explain. He didn't probe. He didn't push. He didn't interrogate until they finally confessed and gave him the right answer. He just asked what happened. And his questions allowed space for them to decide how they would respond. the answers reflected the state of their heart. And surely as they spoke their answers, they would have been convicted of their own guilt. God didn't judge their answers, but he did respond to how they spoke. The questions we ask people sometimes may trigger certain emotional responses. It may cause some conviction. It may cause them to have some doubt. And it's not our goal to do that, but simply help reveal the state of their heart. It's not the time to correct them or to show them how they should be thinking, but rather it gives them room to open up and simply for us to observe and understand what the state of their heart is at this moment. And of course, we're talking about early on in a relationship and practicing this art, right? There might be times later on where you have opportunity to really speak into those issues. But when you're just getting to know someone, it's important to just let them share what they think without judging, without correcting. God took the responses of Adam and Eve that they had and accepted that this is where they are right now. And he proceeded with those responses. Asking good questions from a desire to understand someone better can be a powerful way of expressing care and concern and to build trust. Now, it can feel risky sometimes to answer questions like this and allowing people just to answer however they're going to answer. You don't know how they're going to respond. Sometimes you might have fear that you won't be able to handle their responses. What if they say something that totally catches you off guard? But that's the kind of situation where we need to develop and deepen our own trust in the Lord. God tells us not to worry about our lives, and that includes not to worry about what we're going to have to say when we interact with someone. He can and will give you words to say when you need them, or he will give you opportunities to just be humble and admit that you don't have all the answers. I don't know how many times I've been in that situation as a pastor, feeling like I know I need to know what to tell you, but all I can tell you right now is God is good, and we're going to trust that. It's okay to just admit that you don't know sometimes and just to be present with the person. Or perhaps, that's what you'll discover that's all they really need is they just need your support. Whatever the situation calls for, you can trust that God will be there with you. And I really believe that that's often a hurdle that a lot of us have toward really getting out and engaging with people. We're stopped by our own fears of, I won't be enough. I won't be able to handle this. And we all need to learn to just release that a little bit to the Lord and trust him to be there. He has shown up in my life in more ways than I can count to help me through those situations. And he'll do the same for you. So we want to be free to just explore who people are. So I'd like to wrap up this discussion of this art with a couple of final thoughts. First of all, the book that I've been using as a resource, The Nine Arts of Spiritual Conversations, has a couple of lists I wanted to share with you in them. One is characteristics of good questions, and the other was a list of practices to avoid. And rather than just listing those off to you, I put together a PDF file that you can find online. I'm going to send a link through the chat box right now, and you can get the link there. If you don't get it there, you can email me, and I can send it to you. This is a pretty short list, but it's a good practical thing to take a look at, to think about the types of things that ways that we can respond to people. The second thing I want to close with is Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6. Give me a moment to get to that. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. We want to pray as we continue to develop those arts and we think about this art of asking questions, that God would help us to be wise in our interactions, to make the most of every opportunity. We pray that our conversations would always be full of grace and seasoned with salt, as Paul said, referring to having the meaning of our conversations be infused with God's love and goodness. Let that work through everything that we say and do. May he give us the desire to seek to understand people, to set aside any other motive, to be free of judgment, and to be full of his desire to know them and to fill them with his grace. I pray that these arts continue to feed us in our lives, in our ability to have the confidence to build the kind of relationships God wants us to have so that we can be effective in making disciples in our communities. Let's pray and give thanks to God for the way that he continues to provide himself to us. And then we can feel free to take some time to discuss things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to just begin, first of all, by thanking you for your grace for us. May we always be reminded of the gifts that you have poured into us, that we would never hold that back from anyone else. You have filled us with so much of your grace and your love and your provision, Lord, your presence. Let us freely give those to others. And I do pray that you would just continue to guide us as a church into how effectively to reach people for your sake, to show them the love and grace that you've given us. And Lord, today we specifically ask that you help us to be good at asking questions that draw people out and help reveal the state of their heart so that we may know them better and so that we may understand the ways that you're working in their lives as well. And thank you for blessing us with your presence, Lord, for gathering us together. And we ask all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.